He got against the wall beside the doorway again and waited. And waited. And waited. In time, the shakes went away. The nerves calmed some. He realized that his latest victim could be seen from the stairs. He waited some more. He had to make a move. The longer he dicked around, the more time there would be for something to go wrong. His muscles did not want to unlock. He was completely terrified of the consequences of making any move. But he did, finally, drag himself around far enough to peek through the doorway. Morning light spilled down from upstairs. It showed him nothing to fear. He made his feet move. He found no trouble on the ground floor. From the doorway, he could see nothing but desolation. City badlands where not a soul stirred. He wanted to run all the way to the Skull and Crossbones. He bore down, did what had to be done, dragging the body out of the street to the cellar, where it was less likely to be discovered soon. Then he headed for home. But he did not run, though his legs insisted they had to stretch out and go. Chapter 46. We dropped into Orr in the middle of the night, but we didn't find Darling and them till noon next day, and then only because we had Bowmans along to sniff them out. They weren't where they were supposed to be. Meantime, I ran into two guys that I knew from when me and Raven were staying in Orr, and they wanted to talk. Nobody in town had much else to do.
"Things don't look good," Raven said,
as we drifted through the streets, following Bowman's sorcerer's nose.
"All these people packed in here. No chance to get out. Food stocks probably getting low. Plague may be getting ready to break out. The place is ripe.
Would have been long gone if this was high summer and the heat was eating up everybody's tolerance. You know anything about these twins?" He wasn't talking to me. When it comes to sorcerers and sorcery, I don't know nothing about nothing except I want to stay out of the way.
"Never heard of them,"
Bowman said. "That doesn't mean anything. The lady had a whole crop coming up.
How do you think you'd stack up against them?"
"I don't plan to find out."
I spotted a white rose painted on a door.
"Look there."
They looked. Other people were looking too and trying not to be noticed doing it.
"That damned screw-up Silent," Raven growled. "He's talked her into doing something stupid."
"Who are you trying to bullshit?" I asked. "When did anybody ever talk Darlin' into doing something she didn't want to do?" He grumbled some, then grumbled some more. Bowman's nose picked out their hideout then, and after some shibboleth stuff, we got into the cellar where Darlin' was holding court with a gang of leftovers from Orr's rebel heyday. They didn't look like much to me. Raven grunted. He wasn't impressed either. He replied,